Book of Sanguin, a Skyrim series written by Fallows Thorn and read by Sylvain. Part 1, Bardic Lore. Sanguin didn't tend to do much in the way of work. It wasn't really in his job description, you might say. When it came to sex, and eventually most things did, the mortals thought up all sorts of creative things, after which Sanguin and everyone else involved had a lot of fun with them. Mostly spent his time either wandering about on Nirn getting into trouble, or wandering about in mortals' heads getting them into trouble by way of careful suggestion, both of which were extremely entertaining, but the latter of which carried much less potential for getting into even more trouble with whoever had caught him, since his hosts tended to be bothered by weird things like guilt and shame and so on. Even given this, it still may come as something of a surprise that Sanguin did not discover porn immediately. In retrospect, it was a surprise to him as well. The first time it had happened, he'd been drawn to the lusty thoughts of some myrrh, only to discover that those lusty thoughts were directed at a particularly intriguing woodcut of some poor woman whose spine looked very uncomfortable. Sanguin had steered the myrrh towards several actual women, and suggested that she learn some proper anatomy, hands-on. He'd lost track of time after that for a while, which admittedly wasn't all that rare of an occurrence, and the next time he'd come across a document of the inanimate but decidedly sexual nature, it had been at the hands of an artist who was trying to walk the fine line between tasteful nudity and what his paintbrush really wanted to do, which was along the lines of forgetting that the woman in front of him had a draped cloth obscuring all the really good bits, and that her expression was more bored than orgasmic. Sanguin had been leaning over the man's shoulder at the time, and decided to hurry things along a bit. The cloth had made an excellent blanket. While he was lying there, playing idly with the woman's hair and not wanting to leave just yet, he thought about this. It was more of an event than it sounds. Sanguin, as a rule, didn't do a whole lot of thinking, and didn't much like to inspire it in others. Still, this was something worth thinking about. Sanguin knew that people paid for sex, which always struck him as silly, seeing as how there were plenty of people willing to give it out for free, himself included. But more importantly, that meant that there was a shortage, and while masturbation wasn't one of Sanguin's favourite pursuits, relatively, it was still quite nice, all things considered. Better than Moloch Baal, certainly, though that sometimes depended on Sanguin's mood. There were enough similarities between that and pornography that he could see the latter being a worthwhile pursuit. The Daedric Prince hummed to himself, got the man and woman interested in each other again, and quietly vanished while they were distracted. They were charming. Perhaps he'd visit them again. Never mind that, though. There was research to be done. Sanguin dropped by the home of someone who was having some alone time with a book that was kept on a high shelf, convinced her that she'd fallen asleep and was dreaming about having wonderful sex with the main character and several of the other ones besides, and stole a handful of the books when she'd fallen into a real slumber. 4 or 5 hours later, he'd gone through them all, some more than once, except for one which had been absolutely terrible and now did not exist. Anywhere. Ever. Sanguin still maintained that actual sex was more fun, as it was hard to chase or seduce a book, but this was certainly less work, and it involved a good deal more interesting things that were technically, anatomically, or physically, or religiously, impossible. He'd even found a mention of himself in one of them, which was pleasing. He wondered idly for a moment if he ever got mentions in memoirs, then decided he didn't care enough to find out. It was around this time when the thought occurred to him to write his own porn. He'd be a natural at it, of course, and it would be hotter than anything this. He checked the author of the books, and to his delight discovered that the three best ones were written by the same person. This Sultris Amor could write. Huh. Nice pen name, if a little silly. Then again, not much of any of this took itself too seriously. Neither did Sanguin, come to think of it. Eventually, after another read-through of one of the books, just to check that Sultris Amor was worthy of the name, the logical thought made itself known to Sanguin. While he did know sex very well, he hadn't ever tried writing anything, much less about something so distracting. Unfortunately, when Sanguin tried to find someone on Nirn who was currently writing porn, or at least writing while thinking dirty thoughts, Sultris Amor was nowhere to be found. There was, however, some young fool who prided himself on his eligibility to almost every woman in his city, and was thinking about that fact and what he'd like to do to confirm that eligibility, a great deal while writing. Sanguine, who had next to no work ethic or discerning taste, appeared behind the young man as he was bent over a desk, scratching away with a quill by the light of a candle. His presence went unnoticed for the moment, and he seated himself quietly on the man's bed, noting the late hour and closed door, and enjoying the man's thoughts without really guiding them much. He was wearing a male imperial guise, one of his favourites, and he could feel himself get aroused just from what was going through the Nord's head. This was impressive, until you considered how often Sanguine got aroused. The man must not have been very perceptive, because he didn't even turn around when Sanguine's very apparent arousal started affecting his own ability to concentrate. At this point, Sanguine was trying very hard not to make a noise, because he was split about evenly between laughing himself off of Nern and simply fucking the young man silly, and he wanted to figure out which he should do before anything spontaneous happened. Sanguine was usually a fan of spontaneity, but this was just too good an opportunity to waste. Hilariously, while Sanguine was having his little internal debate, the man had decided that his erection must be a result of his writing or his thoughts, and was moving his hips slowly, almost absently, just out of reach of the desk. Sanguine had to admit, it made for a tantalizing picture. The Daedric Prince decided enough was enough, and took a quick swipe at the man's thoughts to see what he'd like in the way of sex. Ooh, a virgin. Well, that was interesting. Sanguine figured he might go easy on the Nord. After all, he'd been so awfully obliging. The man's body flushed with true arousal, and he finally set his quill down and moved to the side, shutting the book and loosening the tie in his pants. Sanguine read the title crookedly. A Gentleman's Guide to Whiterun. That was an interesting definition of gentleman. The one Sanguine had known had all been very boring, at least until Sanguine had... Well, introducing himself usually did the trick. Especially if introducing himself involved any degree of clothing coming off. And then, finally, the young Nord picked up the candle and turned to face Sanguine, about whose intentions, though he was still clothed, there was not much reasonable doubt. Sanguine barely restrained himself from laughing when the man let out a shriek and dropped the candle, which promptly went out. He took a moment to remember what he was wearing for continuity's sake, smiled when it turned out to be a mage's robes, though which mage he wasn't entirely sure, and sent a ball of hovering light to float between them. Who are you? The man croaked. Sanguine gave up on reading the man's thoughts, since there wasn't much he was going to get in the way of useful information from that. No, you were right the second time, Sanguine said amiably. I can be a dream, pleasant or disturbing. I can be a stranger in the dark. I can keep being a stranger in the dark if you'd like. That's always fun and mysterious. Mostly I'd like to have sex with you, and I'd like you to enjoy it as well, since I don't like giving him any more power than he already lords over the rest of us. What? The man said, totally lost. Sanguine sighed. Never mind, he said, and patted the bed next to him. The man sat down, probably because he had no idea what else to do. The man said, pressing his palms to his eyes. How did you get in here? I entered from my domain in one of the ever-stretching planes of oblivion. Right, the door then. Dumb question, sorry. Look, whoever you are, this is nice and all. Well, actually, it's really weird and I'm not sure I'm not hallucinating, but... it's not that I necessarily have a problem with sleeping with you, and I'm sure you're very good at it. I didn't mean it like that, I meant... Screw it, divines know what I meant, but, you see, the thing is... The man's head dipped as he started scrutinizing the floor, and Sanguine, who'd been listening into the man's thoughts again, noticed with his razor-sharp deductive skills that while the Nord was stumbling through some kind of monologue explaining his virginity, his brain was showing him a variety of fantasies, some of which looked as though they'd been inspired by Seltra Samor. The other fascinating thing that Sanguine was paying more attention to than whatever was coming out of the young man's mouth was the fact that throughout all this drivel, neither of their erections had really gone away. Still not listening to the man, Sanguine reached out and put his hand firmly in the Nord's lap. The man lost the end of his sentence to a stuttering exhalation and threw a desperate, embarrassed look Sanguine's way. Sanguine grinned and swung himself around to straddle the man and meet his hips as they rolled upwards, Spatial relations kindly looked the other way for the few seconds it took him to get rid of his robe. There was a brief silence while the Nord blinked and tried to make what was going on resolve itself into some sort of sense. Sanguine cocked his head to the side. "You got a name?" he asked abruptly. "I'm getting kind of tired of epithets." The man blinked hard, once, then decided something. "Mikael," he said, and by way of introduction kissed Sanguine firmly on the mouth. Sanguine loved introducing himself to gentlemen. Mikael pulled away and regarded Sanguine, looking him up and down until his gaze landed in their laps. "You're very male," he said, sounding equal parts nonplussed and dazed. "Did you drug your mouth or something?" Sanguine looked down too, for lack of a better response. "I'm going to go ahead and hope those two statements aren't related. Yes to the first, and no to the second, though I have been told my presence is intoxicating. I could be female if you like," he suggested. Mikael looked up at him in squinty confusion. "You're not human, are you?" "Give the man a sweet roll. Do you really care?" is the better question. In answer, Mikael leaned back on his elbows and arched his body up so that his hips were pressed against Sanguine's. That would be a no, then. Satisfied that Mikael was on board, Sanguine tilted his head back and hummed deep in his throat, letting his mouth fall partway open so that the sound became a low moan. "Shh!" Mikael hissed. "Other people will hear you!" "So?" There was a beat of silence where they both stared at each other. Mikael pushed at Sanguine's shoulders. "Can't talk if there's something in your mouth," he reasoned. Sanguine grinned even as he yielded to the pressure, sitting so that he could rut against the bedframe. There was some shuffling around, after which Mikael's legs ended up wrapped around Sanguine's torso, and Sanguine's hands were braced on either side of Mikael. "Wanna bet?" "I'd lose that. Oh, defiance!" Sanguine huffed out a laugh and left off licking to press his lips to Mikael's cock. "Don't swear by them," he said against the skin. And Mikael groaned at the sensation, barely hearing Sanguine. "Swear by me." "You didn't... I don't... know... your name," Mikael gasped out, a bit hampered in the process of coming up with a complete sentence. Sanguine, fairly confident in the reaction he'd get, told him. The noise Mikael made was half vaguely alarmed and half intensely erotic. Sex won out over irreverence, though, especially when Sanguine stopped teasing and took Mikael's cock in his mouth. He was rewarded with fingers twisting in his hair, half trying to hold his head in place, and Mikael spitting out, "Sanguine!" like it was a curse. Sanguine shivered at the sound. All Daedra love worship, love to hear their names exalted, and Sanguine was no different. In a human it would be narcissism. In Sanguine it was also a power trip. Mikael took the hint and said, "Sanguine," again, lowly. Sanguine sucked, feeling the rush of Mikael's pulse on his tongue, and the fumbling gasps above him became a chant, rambling and incoherent in places, but visceral and filthy and perfect. Sanguine gave in to sensation, pressing up needily against the hard bedframe, not caring that the wood dug into his abdomen, achingly aware of the way his name sounded spilling out of Mikael's lips, tumbling and consorting with yes and fuck and please. He grabbed Mikael's hips and held him in place, and almost unconsciously made a soft, low noise that wavered and dipped into a hum. Mikael suddenly went very still and very quiet, and then he was coming, bucking against Sanguine's hands and pulling him closer with his legs. Sanguine swallowed him down greedily, taking everything he could get from the man as though it were offered by ritual. The Daedroth lifted his head to see Mikael staring down at him far too intensely for someone who'd just had an orgasm. "Sanguine," he breathed, and Sanguine let his back arch as he came, shuddering and tensing and riding the rolling high of sex and sacrifice. "Oh." Sanguine blinked lazily from where he'd slumped down, not nearly as concerned as before about keeping himself relatively upright. Belatedly, he realized that he'd held onto Mikael's hips too tightly, and there might be fingerprint bruises later. He smirked and ran his hands over the skin, as if his touch were making it conform to the muscle and bone beneath, then hoisted himself up on the bed beside Mikael. Mikhail, before letting his head fall back with a thump, had taken off his shirt, and was using it to half-heartedly clean himself up. Sanguine didn't bother, knowing that he wouldn't be wearing this body long enough to have it matter. After a minute or so spent in comfortable silence, Mikhail looked up with a confused frown. He stared at the ceiling for a moment, trying to think of something, then turned to Sanguine. "I don't remember taking my pants off," he said, "or my shoes, or my underclothes, and where did your robe go?" As he added things to the list, he got more and more perplexed, and eventually sat up fully to look around the room. Sanguine waved a hand at him, having lain down, albeit only halfway on the bed. "Don't think about it too much, or it won't have happened. Robe never existed as far as I care. If you want it back, your clothing's under the bed." Mikhail gave in to his curiosity and looked. Sure enough, he retrieved a neatly folded pair of pants, which had presumably been next to his other clothing. Unfortunately for him and Sanguine's patience, already a scarce commodity as it was, this didn't really help as far as confusion went. "But I don't remember," he tried, glancing at Sanguine. "Do I want to know what's going on? Do you want to have more sex?" "Not right now?" "Then hush." Mikhail blinked at him, shrugged, and did so. It was only after he was asleep and Sanguine was thinking about doing the same. It was warm, and Sanguine was nothing if not indulgent and lazy, that the Daedric Prince realized he hadn't actually learned anything from this. Well, that wasn't true. He'd learned he should fuck more virgins, as they were fun to corrupt. But he hadn't learned anything about writing porn. Sanguine scowled. This was almost turning into something like work. Still, it had to be said that he'd had a lot of fun in the last hour, and it stood to reason that if he kept looking for someone knowledgeable, he'd have more. Perhaps he should keep an eye out for Sultress Amor. With that thought in mind, Sanguine nodded to the air, made sure Mikhail was asleep in a way that wouldn't hurt in the morning, and vanished. The hovering light winked out with him. Part 2. Written Law. It took Sanguine a while to find Sultress Amor, both because he didn't put a great deal of effort into it, and also because she actually didn't come across his radar all that much. Either she was the kind of slacker that Sanguine could take lessons from, which was unlikely given how many books he'd seen with her name on them, or she was an incredibly furtive writer. The next time he found her, she was at home, working on one of her ongoing projects. Unfortunately, she actually owned her house, which made her much more likely than Mikhail to call the guards if he simply appeared near her. After weighing what he knew of his attention span against the fact that in Tamriel it was currently 2 in the morning, he decided to simply skip the intervening time, and wound up at around 5 in the afternoon in the Windhelm Stone Quarter. Sanguine shrugged and made himself a corporeal form in an inconspicuous corner, looking down at it once he had adjusted to the feeling of needing to breathe. Male, gnawed with some possibly Breton ancestry, plain clothing, red hair from what he could see out of the corner of his eyes. Probably generally attractive. Well, he could augment that if he had to, or fix it once he was near something reflective. Orienting himself among the buildings, he ambled towards the smithy, scanning the crowd for Sultress. He found her trying to get the attention of an Altmer, who was ignoring her in favour of another customer, who happened to be Nordic. He drifted closer, wondering if he should do something to intervene. Sultress sighed, running a hand through her hair and looking around in frustration. She caught sight of Sanguine approaching and closed her eyes briefly, tipping her head up as though praying to the divines for strength. As Sanguine neared the stall, the previous customer nodded farewell to the Altmer and left. Throwing a measuring glance Sanguine's way, Sultress stepped in the merchant's line of sight and, in one big rush, said, "Excuse me, I need Dragon's Tongue, Moritapinella, and Scalifotolia, that's all. I'm trying to give you money, why won't—" She broke off with an exasperated noise as the Altmer once again ignored her for another customer, in this case Sanguine. Well, as long as he was put on the spot, he might as well help Sultress out. What did those ingredients all have in common? Oh. He stepped up to the counter, nodding and greeting, and said, "Yes, I'd like as many elixirs of illusion as you have." The shopkeeper's face registered surprise, but she nonetheless reached under the counter and pulled out 3 fat golden flasks. "I trust you have the septims, all 2,730 of them? For 3 of these? I could make them myself at a sixth of the price. How about 1,000 even? The Altmer gave him a flat look. I don't haggle. If you can make something of this quality yourself, then I encourage you to do so. Otherwise, pay up. Well, it had been worth a try. Sangwin reached down to a pack that hadn't been at his feet earlier and brought out a large bag of coins. After checking to make sure the coins were from the correct era, having made that mistake once before, he wasn't eager to make it again. He handed it to the shopkeeper along with a silent apology to physics and the local economy. That should be all of it. There are a few enchantments on the bag, don't worry. She accepted it with a raised eyebrow, but handed him the potions nonetheless. He promptly turned and offered all three to Soltress. Were you looking for something along these lines? Soltress just stared at him, taken aback. Apparently on automatic, she said, "Yes, but you bought them." He gave her a dry look. The day I need potions to change someone's mind will be the day I dedicate myself to Dibella. Take them. She blinked once and did so, slipping them into her bag quickly. I must be dreaming, she said. Sangwin shrugged. If you like. Why? He motioned in the vague direction of Soltress's home to get them away from the marketplace. Soltress gave him a look of mild disbelief and started walking alongside Sangwin. You mean besides the fact that you're a Nord, in Windhelm, and you paid attention to me for something other than a lewd remark? I take offense at that last one, Sangwin said, pretending indignation. I can come up with plenty of lewd remarks. He winked at the woman, startling her into a cautious smile. Besides that, then, she said, you're nice enough, and you're new, and sooner or later Rolf or his friends will get to you, and then you won't be either. It was pleasant talking with you, but I really do need to get home before it gets too dark out. Sangwin pouted, enjoying this character he'd built up. It was fun. Aw, but I never got to introduce myself, he said, and before the Dunmer could say another word, he stepped into an exaggerated mock bow. Sam Gouven, at your service. And of course, your own reputation precedes you. He looked up, straightening. Soltress Amor. Instantly, her demeanor went from amused to shocked. She was only caught off guard for a second, though, before her eyes narrowed and she stepped close to him, taking him by the arm and dragging him out of sight to shove him against the wall. How do you know that? She spat out, the words flat and low. Sangwin didn't resist much, willing to see where this was going. I'm fairly sure a great many people know that name, he drawled. The potions in her bag clinked as she dropped it on the ground, pressing her now free forearm against his throat and surprising him with her strength. Her off hand began to glimmer with a suggestion of magicka, even as her voice stayed level. They don't know to connect it with me. They shouldn't, anyway. Especially not the Nords and Windhelm. Answer me. How do you know that? Sangwin raised his eyebrows. She was intense, but given the general attitude she'd been alluding to of the Nords and Windhelm, perhaps that wasn't surprising. I'm the Daedric Prince of Lust and Greed, and I want to learn how to write porn from someone who knows what she's doing. Soltress gaped at him, staring in nonplussed shock for the second time that day. The magicka in her hand guttered out as she lost concentration. Sangwin looked down at her and blinked slowly. Soltress opened her mouth as if to say something, then shut it. After a few more moments, she shook her head, less an action of disbelief and more to express that she could not think of a single thing to say. Sangwin cocked his head to the side, regarding her. Look, let's just assume you're dreaming. It'll make things easier on all accounts. Soltress had to move her mouth a few times before anything would come out. This, on what accounts? He shrugged. We can go somewhere more comfortable. We can skip the part where I waste 20 minutes explaining what's going on. You can teach me whatever I've been missing about how to write porn, and you're much more likely to want to fuck me before 6. Sounds like a plan? She blinked at him, not quite processing everything. Somehow she latched onto one specific part of his list and glanced at the battered pocket watch she had in one of her dress pockets. It's only just past 5:30, she said, a tad faintly. Sangwin grinned. I'll take that as a yes, then. So saying, he took hold of the arm she was still holding near his throat and summoned them to one of his realms, letting her basest desires and indulgences dictate what should appear in it. When he blinked his vision clear of the summoning vortex, he looked around the room and then down at Soltress in approval. You have good taste. The room was large and decadent, full of rich fabrics and lush, dark colours. Torches were set evenly on the walls, and a fire glowed softly in the hearth opposite the bed, which itself was large enough for five people, never mind two. A table to the side was adorned with bowls of fruit, plates of bread and meat, and bottles of wine. Saltress, in a bit of a daze, wandered over and began eating grapes one by one. Sanguine sat on the bed, watching Saltress move about. The Dunmer's hands wandered over the items on the table, until she moved on to hover over the various other signifiers of wealth. "Is this... where did this come from?" she asked quietly. Sanguine thought he heard something else in that question, but he wasn't really in the mood for analytical social commentary. "Your head," he told her. She threw him a sharp glance. "I am dreaming, then, or mad?" He shrugged. "Nah, if you were mad, I'd be offering you cheese and speaking in an Irish accent, making absolutely no sense." Saltress stared at him, expression opaque, for a long moment, then burst into uncontrolled laughter. Oh, I must be only one-third mad, then. You already make no sense." "To hell with it," she said, and took a long draught from the glass of wine on the table next to her. "Where did I get this from?" "Never mind," he said. "Why the sudden change?" She finished the glass and set it down, where it quietly stopped existing. "It's like this, see. On the one hand," she held up an open hand, palm flat and facing up, "I could be incredibly terrified, assume you're going to either rape me, beat me, kill me, all three, because you're a Nord who's taken me to a strange and unfamiliar place, I can't figure out how to leave, and I live in Windhelm. But I doubt that would get either of us anywhere, since you claim to be a Daedric prince, and if you really are going to do anything awful to me, I probably can't stop you." Sanguine conceded that point with a nod of his head, although that's not really my area of expertise. "Regardless. On the other hand, you said you wanted to learn how to write porn, and I can help with that. And the thing that makes me really feel okay with all of this, including this idea you have that I'm going to have sex with you, don't think I missed that, is that I've just noticed there are wrists and ankle restraints attached to that bed." Sanguine leaned back and raised his eyebrows. "Would you feel better if I was in them? I'm all for coherence from you, at least for now." She looked at him shrewdly. "Are you okay with that? If you don't mind me being aroused by it." Saltress came closer and started helping Sanguine fit the leather snugly around his wrists and ankles. "Given your general area of expertise, is there anything you're not aroused by?" "That depends on your definition of anything," Sanguine said, getting a snort of laughter from Saltress. He tested the straps and found a little give, but not much. Enough flexibility to hint at freedom, and enough resistance to make his breath catch. Saltress noticed and raised an eyebrow, stepping back. He shrugged. "So," she said, leaning back on the table and crossing her arms, "where do you want to start? What do you want to know?" Sanguine licked his lips. Everything?" he tried. Saltress rolled her eyes. "Have you ever written anything before?"
"No."
Saltress sighed. "Okay, that's not my problem. Learning to write takes a lifetime, and you'll never stop learning. It also takes a certain talent and passion that some people just don't have."
"Trust me, I have talent and passion," Sanguine said, smirking.
"What are you, 15?
"I have been."
Saltress considered this, then wrinkled her nose.
"You mean, ugh. Better than... anyway, please continue."
"Right. So there are plenty of books on how to write a book, and obviously you should spend a lot of time reading and writing. You'll get better with practice, everyone does. Also, don't ever think that you've learned everything there is, or that there's nothing wrong with your writing, or that... any of that. Okay, writing lessons over. You want something more in-depth? Attend an actual class or something, not my problem. Porn can be different from writing about something mundane, or even about something fantastic. I mean, different cultures have their own taboos, but for the most part, sex is private. I'm not sure if that will be an issue for you, but when a group of friends and I started out doing this, only two of us actually made it through writing anything remotely lurid." Sanguine gave her a flat look. "Are you my tutor now?" The look Saltress returned was equally skeptical. "I thought you wanted to learn." Sanguine sat up as much as he could with his arms pinned down. "I thought it would be fun. This is boring." "So, why are you doing this, really?" Saltress said, dropping down into a fluffy armchair. "If you don't like hearing about writing, you're not going to like writing. It sounds more like you just like sex, and you like the idea of writing porn because you like porn."
I do like porn, Sanguine pointed out. And I'm naturally suited to it, right? Saltress just shook her head. But apparently you're dead set on it. Seems like you'd be better suited as a subject material instead of the... She stopped and blinked, then smirked a bit at nothing in particular. Well, I guess that could work. She looked at him fully. So here's the thing. I have a deal with the Argonian who binds the first copies of my books. He gets a cut of the money made from selling them. But we do this on a regular basis, and I don't know how much more I can get out of my main character in the way of anything new. You could let me have a shot at it, Sanguine offered. He's fictional, Saltress said with a strange look. I don't see the problem. She paused. Daedric, right. Look, the point is, I need material and you need a writer. Why don't I start publishing the ongoing erotic tales of Sanguine, and you show up every so often and regale me with your exploits? I'm sure you'd have no trouble with it, she added with a pointed look. He laughed and let the movement carry down to his hips, watching as her eyes followed. Of course, like any good artist, you'd want to test the quality of your... He trailed off. Look, can we just fuck? She snorted in something that could have been humor and rode the edge of bitterness. That didn't take long. Sanguine gave her a confused look, wondering what she'd been expecting and why it had gone downhill so suddenly. Saltress looked weary and indistinctly disappointed. It's not you, she explained shortly. I don't want sex. With anyone. Ever. Yes, I've tried it. Yes, with men and women. Yes, with whatever hedge magic remedy you're going to suggest. Yes, I know I'll never find a partner. No, writing about sex isn't and hasn't ruined my perception of it. Yes, I know there's something wrong. I don't care, Sanguine interrupted her. With... what? Saltress had closed her eyes during her defeated rant, and now opened them to stare at Sanguine. I didn't find you to fuck you. I just thought it would be fun to do that, too. I am not the mad god, young mortal, child of Azura's due. I am not the huntsman or the harvester, to delight in chasing what does not want to be caught. I want your collapse to indulgence, not an ideal that includes inhibiting your own desires to the purpose of some other. Somehow I don't think I should find that as reassuring as I do, Saltress muttered, then said louder and wry, Did you make all that up just now? Very eloquent. Sanguine said nothing. What he'd said was true, beyond which she would have to want to be convinced out of the silly reasons she'd learned for not doing whatever she liked, and that was always harder with reasonable people. Tell me a story, then, Saltress said, and sat at the desk across the room, a sheaf of paper and a quill at hand. Let's see what I can make of it. Part 3. Daedric Law. Sanguine was bored. Bored, bored, bored. And worse, he was both incredibly bored and incredibly lazy. A combination which meant he wanted to sit around and whine about how bored he was, rather than get up and find something to do. Luckily for Sanguine, he was a Daedric prince, which meant that he didn't have to get up to find something to do. Sometimes things and people to do made themselves known without any intervention on his part. Like now, for instance. Sanguine smiled as he felt the faint pull of a summoning. Not his own summoning. The pull would have been much stronger, possibly irresistible. This was a ritual calling one of Sanguine's brethren. Time to see if said prince wanted to play. The clearing that Sanguine found himself in was pleasantly warm, the yellow of autumn beginning to seep into the leaves of the surrounding trees. He glanced down at himself, having picked a mortal form more or less at random, and found that she was a Bosmer female, wearing a somewhat truncated version of a priestess's rose. Sanguine smirked. On the whole, followers of other Daedra tended to be on the virginal side. Devoting oneself to shadow, entropy, etc. didn't leave much more for lovers or one-night stands. This was going to be fun. Walking forward to lean against the open archway of the small temple, Sanguine found that she'd stumbled on a shrine to Hermaeus Mora, prince of knowledge and things ineffable. At least, according to the chanting nutjob in front of the altar, which was less an archetypical table with candles and designs, and more a metallic representation of Hermaeus as a writhing mass of incoherent tentacles. The whole affair seemed a little small and pitiful when the dark-hooded robes and the "We are a secret order" atmosphere clashed with the bright, cheery day outside and the sheer amount of power that they lacked. Someone had covered the windows of the repurposed stone structure with black cloth, which was sort of an adorable effort, to be honest. Sanguine pitched her voice low and husky and made sure that when she spoke, her words dripped and ached of sex. "Hello there," she said, ignoring the way several of the worshippers jumped violently in surprise. "Oh, I just love it when I go out for a walk and I come across all these lovely playthings." Her gaze darted around the room predatorily, and she let a fraction of her power flood the area to tingle on the edge of feeling for those with the sensitivity to magicka. The leader seemed to recover his wits, what little of them he had, and raised a hand at Sanguine. She had to give him points for effort. He only sounded a little unsure of himself. "Be gone, ye foul disruptor," he proclaimed, hand beginning to glow a radiant purple-black. "You, who dares to interrupt our ritual, seeking to profane it so that we would not, could not, draw from the well of knowledge itself! You, undoubtedly working for another of—" Sanguine tuned him out and started to study the others in the room. There were 8 of them, 6 now that 2 on the edges had bolted. The leader and the 2 nearest to him seemed older, and it was likely that they'd recruited the other 3 into their little cult. Of those 3, 1 was too young to have any interest in what was about to happen. Sanguine took pity on him and sent a little burst of fear his way. Already panicked and confused, he dropped the container he was holding and dashed out of the building. The leader, caught up in his magical working, either didn't notice, didn't care, or couldn't disrupt what he was doing without losing control, and kept going. "And thus shall ye be banished forevermore and hence from the realm of Nern, by my powers of magicka! Begone!" He flung the ball of conjuration at Sanguine, who just stood in its path and absorbed it easily, humming a little at the small influx of energy. She saw the look on the leader's face when she was done and chuckled, walking up to him as slowly and obscenely as possible. "Oh, honey," she said, half sincere and half wanting to just burst out laughing and be done with it. "You have no clue, do you? Nern isn't even a realm, it's a plane. Also, you sound like a villain in a hack novel. Or possibly the hero. Either way, it's silly, and you would have had the same effect in about 1/10 of the time by just casting the damn spell. But really, the most important part of this whole problem—" Sanguine stepped forward, so that she was closer to the leader than he probably was comfortable with. "The biggest thing, really, the greatest part of this, that you just missed." Another step, and she was directly in front of him, looking up into his eyes. Sanguine whispered the next words, relishing in the sudden alarm she saw. "Is that I'm not working for anyone." Sanguine pulled the leader into a kiss and poured the magnitude of her power and influence into it, let the leader of this little insignificant cult feel for a fraction of a moment what it was to be Daedric and truly powerful. Then she pulled back and caught him neatly as he fainted. "And besides," she told his unconscious body, lowering it to the floor some ways to the side, "I'm not even here for you. That was a total waste of time." Sanguine looked up at the rest of the room, eyebrows raised. "Anyone else want to take a shot?" As one, they shook their heads. "Good. I don't care if you stay, but shut up and don't try to stop me." She didn't wait to see if they complied, but turned around to face the altar, rapping on the metal sharply. "Hey, Hermaeus, wake up, I want to play." Nothing happened. Sanguine sighed. "Well, fine then. I guess if you want something done right, you just have to resort to extortion. Play with me, or I'll play with your little would-be worshippers here. Everyone loves to be lazy and content." An ominous rumbling began, deep beneath the structure and almost below the mortal range of feeling and hearing. Almost, but not quite. The cultists traded worried looks, but out of fascination or some other motivation, they all stayed put, attention locked on Sanguine. The rumble quieted, and nothing else happened. Sanguine gave the altar, and then the cultists, an unimpressed look. "Is that it?" she said, ostensibly to the woman nearest her, who seemed to be the most collected of the bunch. At the very least, she blinked once and asked, "You're Sanguine, aren't you?" Sanguine gave a little bow, just shallow enough to be mocking. "The one and only." The woman, an older Breton with the air of authority about her, cocked her head to the side. Out of all of them, she was the one Sanguine would have pegged for the leader, and the most likely to truly follow Hermaeus. The effect was only strengthened when the woman said, "Would you mind if I ask you a few—" Suddenly the altar, which before had been rather small and unassuming, became immense. It was not that the metal statue actually changed dimensions, or in any way looked different than it had 30 seconds ago. The edges of it simply became undefined, extending beyond the mortal sight. The tentacles on the altar pulsed and began to move, surging as power was imbued in them. Sanguine laughed, delighted, as the cultists gasped in shock. The smart woman darted to a bag resting against the wall and pulled out several sheets of parchment and a stick of charcoal, then set herself to watching avidly.
"Find your own followers,"
Hermaeus's voice rumbled out from the stone around them. Sanguine smirked. "I just did," she said, waving behind her. "Here's the deal, and I can't imagine why you wouldn't take it. You find me something interesting to do, like yourself, and I'll be kept occupied. You don't, and I... well, I'll just have a lot of extra time on my hands, won't I?" There was a beat of silence, and then the pitifully darkened windows and open doorways slammed into blackness. The room was still lit by a sourceless cold light, enough to see the intricate designs and swirls on the floor rise sleekly up into tentacles, causing the three cultists still aware and present to step hurriedly out of the way. The tentacles rushed at Sanguine, who lifted her arms in gleeful delight and let them strip her of clothing, letting her hips sway into their grip. When she was naked, she stepped forward and brought one knee up to slide into the mass on the altar. The tentacles curled between her thighs and she laughed. And then they stopped moving and simply held her immobile, and Sanguine pouted in a random direction.
"Come now,"
Hermaeus began, intending it as an entreaty.
"I'm not that good,"
Sanguine snarked back. Hermaeus ignored her.
"You can't believe I would simply do as you ask under so pitiful a threat as that, do you?"
"I don't know, Hermie. You were always kind of a pushover."
The tentacle's grip tightened, to where the pressure would have crushed bone had Sanguine been mortal.
"Make it worth my while."
"Or?"
"Or I will give them a lesson in Bosmer internal anatomy."
"I'd get off on that, too."
"Much less easily."
"Point,"
Sanguine thought. "Do you even have sex? Can you even have sex?" There was a short pause.
"Yes,"
Hermaeus said.
Sanguine laughed. "You just fixed it, didn't you?" she accused.
"No,"
he said, placidly and completely unbelievably. The tentacles relaxed a bit, and the smaller ones on the altar began exploring her thighs and groin. They weren't wet or suckered, but they felt slightly tacky against Sanguine's skin.
"Ever heard of lube?" she asked.
In reply, the tentacles curled under the joint of her legs, taking some of her weight off her knee and foot and manhandling her. She went with it, curious, until she'd been turned to face the rest of the room, which she noticed with some satisfaction, looked to varying degrees uncomfortable, aroused, or uncomfortably aroused. Her feet were off the floor now, one braced against the side of the altar and one hanging free. Though it was basically a possessed metal statue, it was surprisingly easy to sit on. Then again, the tentacles curling around her lower back and waist probably had something to do with that. One tentacle swept its tip along Sanguine's vulva, curling to collect the wetness there and bring it up to Sanguine's eyeline.
"Do I need to?"
Hermaeus asked, smug. Sanguine wriggled around.
"No such thing as too much lube," she said. "You can do better than that."
Tentacles heaved her up, and the one that had previously toyed with her slid into a cunt. Hermaeus fit as much of it in as he could, then just left it there.
"It's a vagina, not a hat rack," Sanguine grunted. "Aren't you supposed to know everything?"
"Just because I know everything does not mean I must do what you wish with that knowledge."
He brought another tentacle up to Sanguine's face, this one slightly smaller than her wrist. She figured she might as well let him off the hook, leaned forward, and licked at it. To his credit, Hermaeus knew how to take a cue. He started to explore her mouth, almost hesitantly at first, then with more curiosity and less regard for her comfort. She sucked on the tendril enthusiastically, swallowing as it neared the back of her throat. After a moment, Mora said,
"I'm not sure I understand the appeal."
"Make her," Sanguine tried to say, with very little success. Hermaeus pulled back to let her speak. "Make the end of it sensitive. Mortals have, what is it, the thing where they touch things?"
"A nervous system,"
Hermaeus suggested dryly.
"Yeah, sure, probably. Do one of those."
One of the cultists gave a poorly disguised snort and immediately clapped his hand over his mouth. Both princes looked at him.
"Like that," Sanguine said, pointing at the man's crotch.
"Eep," said the cultist.
"Hmm,"
said Hermaeus Mora.
"Hey," Sanguine said, vaguely affronted. "An hour ago you thought this was stupid."
"Now I am curious,"
Hermaeus said. "Do you really want another prince showing up to the party?" The question came not from Sanguine, but from the older woman sitting on the floor, rapidly scribbling notes.
"She has a point," Sanguine said, then turned her attention back to the other three cultists. "If you don't want to get fucked, you can always leave."
"The outsider's gone?" one of the cultists said, pointing at the doorway. Sanguine frowned and twisted a little to give the tentacle altar a look.
"We're still on Nern," she told the cultist. "Probably in the same place. It's just dark."
There was a brief silence.
Is it okay if I just watch?"
squeaked out the fourth cultist, the one who hadn't spoken yet.
"Absolutely,"
Sanguine said cheerfully, before her mouth was occupied with the tentacle again.
"Swear to me,"
Hermaeus said, dark and low.
"Swear to serve me and no other."
Sanguine rolled her eyes and made a blah 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 motion with one hand before Hermaeus caught her wrist and held it behind her back.
"Yes," said the first one abruptly, the one Sanguine had pointed to. I want to know what's..."
He gestured, at a loss for words. "I want to know new things." A tentacle coiled at his feet, then rose up to curve around his waist gracefully. The tip flicked at the tie on his robe, it was the kind that closed in the front, not a shift, then undid it, letting the cloth fall to the ground. It made quick work of his underclothes, shoved all of it some ways away, and settled around his hips. The man swallowed hard, but stood firm under the extra weight. He touched the tentacle lightly. It slid between his legs, under his balls, and played with them a little, before Hermaeus apparently decided he wasn't interested and moved back up. The man whined a little, then looked embarrassed. Sanguine winked at him. Hermaeus drew the tentacle along the tip of the man's cock. His knees buckled slightly, and another tentacle came to hold him up.
"Why is this so sensitive?"
Hermaeus mused. "I refuse to believe," said the woman with the notes, "that you have never heard of the mammalian reproductive system before." A tentacle flicked in her direction.
"Of course I have. This seems like a vulnerability. Why allow it?"
"I think Sanguine is trying to show you that," the woman said, a bit archly.
"Map the nervous system, you say?"
Hermaeus muttered. Sanguine tapped the tentacle in her mouth.
"Yes, yes. There. Done. Now what?"
Sanguine hollowed her cheeks and licked a long, broad stripe down the underside. The entire building rumbled. All of the tentacles on and around Sanguine spasmed, harder than the iron of the statue could take, and she let it break her collarbone rather than wreck the metal, moaning at the spike of pain. She hoped Hermaeus had thought to let go of the mortal first.
"Yes,"
Hermaeus said roughly, so deep it sounded like the earth itself was speaking. He caught her chin and forced the tentacle into her mouth as far as it would go, fucking her throat brutally.
It was a good thing Sanguine didn't need to breathe, because she wasn't getting to do much of it at the moment. "Go in and out," Immortal suggested, so at least one of them was fine. The tentacle pulsed, which was probably not what the mortal had meant, but was certainly fine by Sanguine, who worked her throat as much as she was able. Hemea squeezed again, and broke her femur in two places. Sanguine projected her voice so she didn't have to use her mouth. "I don't just have a skeleton for fun, you know." "Don't you?" said another mortal. Sanguine paused. "Okay, fine. Could you do something more interesting than shove your dick in my mouth, then?" "I don't think it ejaculates," said the woman with the notes. Hemaeus tugged at Sanguine's body until she was on her hands and knees on the altar. When she got the chance, she put her clavicle and femur back to normal. A smaller tentacle reached up and found a clitoris.
"I believe this is the analogous structure."
Sanguine jerked her hips and said, which meant something along the lines of, "You're damn fucking right it is." He set to circling it calmly, occasionally varying speed or direction or pressure. Sanguine thrashed against him, trying to make it abundantly clear that this was not nearly fast or hard enough. A miracle occurred, and Hermaeus obliged her with enough force to rock her entire body forward. She groaned and arched her back, only intermittently paying attention to the tentacle in her mouth. "Daedra, fuck me, that's hot," one of the mortals said. Sanguine couldn't see what happened next, but she heard some shuffling around, a whimper, and then the same mortal saying, "Fuck, I break easier than her. Yes, fuck Mora." The ground shuddered again. Sanguine smirked. The tentacle inside her began to thrust slowly, and Sanguine moaned at finally getting some sensation against the sensitive flesh. Several thick limbs wrapped around her torso, and Sanguine let them control her movement, fucking her cunt and mouth, without any input from her in the matter. She narrowed her focus down to her own orgasm, chasing it, borrowed muscles shaking violently. She hit her peak with a muffled cry, and drew it out as long as she could, moaning at the waves of pleasure wrecking her pseudo-mortal body. Hermaeus, who both wasn't as practiced and had apparently forgotten that he wasn't supposed to care, took another few moments to come as well. He coiled tightly around Sanguine, tighter than an immortal would have been able to bear, and came with a sound that wasn't quite actual noise and left even Sanguine's ears ringing. The tentacles slid out of her slowly. Sanguine panted and caught her breath on her stomach on top of the altar. She turned her head to see how the mortals were faring, and was vaguely surprised to see they were all in one piece, the two men and one woman fucking each other and the tentacles without inhibition. Noteswoman was still taking notes. Sanguine hummed happily, watching them. Hermaeus was either considerate, or, more likely, curious for more data points, and wrung the mortals' orgasms from them in short order. "Was it good for you two?" Sanguine drawled.
"You should not be here,"
Hermaeus said, and unceremoniously dismissed Sanguine back to her own realm, destroying his mortal form in the process. Sanguine made a face. "Well, that was rude," he muttered to himself, about to march right back into Nern and steal some of those followers for himself, thank you very much, when he had a much better idea. Grinning, he propped his legs up on nothing in particular, and set about designing himself a tentacle god form. Really, he had no idea why he hadn't stolen that idea far earlier. Part 4. Magical Lore.
"Sanguine, entirely at your service," he said, and looked up at Farangar. "And I do mean that."
Farangar stared, then turned suspicious.
"Prove it."
Sanguine shrugged and shifted to one of his more humanoid Daedric forms.
"Well, all right then," Farangar said, and sat down rather heavily, looking a little dazed.
"Look, why don't we skip to the interesting part?" Sanguine started, but Farangar cut him off.
There's...
He paused, and made an awkward, abortive gesture.
"There's one problem. It's just that..."
He looked back at the flagstones. Sanguine spread his hands, waiting.
"I've never really been interested in...
men? Humans? Myrrh? Daedra?
Any of the above," Ferengar finished weakly. Sanguine blinked, then cheated and took the answer from Ferengar's head.
Oh, that explains why you're such a prude.
Ferengar snorted, though it lacked much humor.
How do you think I wound up with the name Secret Fire? It's not as though I'm the only person in Tamriel who studies destruction magic.
Sanguine didn't say anything, considering. Ferengar looked up at him wryly.
I realize it's not exactly convenient. You might try your luck with Sigurd. He talks about nothing but Bellathor, and I don't think the old fool has noticed yet.
Sanguine gave Ferengar a flat look, unimpressed with Ferengar's attempts at self-deprecation. He did make a mental note about Sigurd, though. After a moment of deliberation, he crouched in front of Ferengar to make himself seem more trustworthy, leaning closer than he needed to. Slowly and clearly, he said,
I am the Daedric Prince of doing whatever the fuck you want with whoever the fuck you want. Your life will be a lot easier if you realize that just because everyone else doesn't want you to do that, it doesn't mean they're actually right.
Ferengar fixed Sanguine with the same flat, unimpressed look. Without a word, he reached into his robe and pulled out an amulet of Julianos, lifting it by the chain so it dangled in the air between them. Sanguine barked out a laugh and stood.
Well, it was worth a shot. Doesn't mean we can't have fun.
He looked down at the floor, then up at the ceiling, then around at the four walls that made up the small room they were in. Then he held up a hand to signify that he had just one small question to ask.
So, were you thinking of a normal-sized dragon?
Ferengar nodded hesitantly. The plains outside of Whiterun, at night, were a cold, blustery, and unforgiving environment. Sanguine had forgotten this, which was unfortunate for both himself and Ferengar, who clutched his robes tighter around him.
I hope you have a plan that doesn't mean I freeze to death. My robes are enchanted, but your reputation precedes you.
Sanguine laughed and pulled Ferengar closer to him. On a whim, as he placed spells of warmth and silence on them both, he pressed his lips to the mage's forehead. Ferengar looked confused, though he stayed put, if only to make sure the spells took.
That was gentle, he said, in the tone of someone out of practice at not knowing things.
Sanguine answered the observation anyway.
If I wanted a cheap fuck, I wouldn't be bothering with all of this.
He carded a hand through Ferengar's hair, idly watching the flesh turn scaly and the bones elongate into spars.
Trust me. I want to do exactly what you want from me, exactly how you want it. I know you have inhibitions. I'm offering you the chance to forget them.
Ferengar swallowed hard and met Sanguine's eyes firmly. Sanguine took that as his cue to transform. Much as with his usual guises, Sanguine didn't take the time to actively craft each part of his new form. Instead, he took the quicker route of searching the realm for something close to what he wanted, then becoming that thing, with a few personal touches. In this case, a sleek black-and-red twin of the dragon in the next province. He shook his head when he was done, rearing back and spreading his wings so he could look back over himself. Ferengar approached slowly, a hand held out in front of him. He looked almost reverent. He said something quietly, and Sanguine hastily added a spell to let them hear each other without yelling loudly enough for Whiterun to hear them too.
Really, actually happening. Oh, divines.
Sanguine thumped back down to all fours, still unused to using what amounted to his wrists to hold himself up, but he still managed a dry look, mostly by tilting his head. Ferengar snorted and dropped his hand, though he couldn't keep his eyes from wandering along the length of Sanguine's body.
Maybe not the divines, then, he agreed. Then, abruptly, can I touch you? Not... I don't mean...
The rest of the sentence was shoved aside by Sanguine's head butting into Ferengar's midsection. After a brief moment of hesitation, Ferengar relaxed and let his hands rest on the ridged crest that protected the back of Sanguine's skull, in a weird parody of a hug. Any awkwardness, however, vanished quickly to make way for a mage's natural curiosity.
Is this bone? I had assumed something less permanent, but with the way it's embedded in the skin here. The eyes are so far back into the skull. But from what I've heard, dragons spend most of their time in the air. They can't rely on scent and sound over vision.
Ferengar leaned back to address Sanguine directly. How is your eyesight? Are you anatomically similar to natural dragons?
Yes, except for the colors,
Sanguine said, and spent a moment being mildly surprised at how low and harsh his voice was. Ferengar, however, had already moved to one side, running his hands over the smooth, dry skin of Sanguine's throat. He made a quiet, delighted noise as Sanguine spoke, and Sanguine felt him find what must be the voice box on a dragon. He hummed to make it vibrate again, though it came out as more of a rolling growl. Ferengar walked further back, and Sanguine twisted his neck around to watch his progress, obliging when the mage began to inspect the bones in one wing. Ferengar had apparently completely forgotten why they'd come out here in the first place, and was totally engrossed in simply getting to examine a dragon up close. Sanguine was happy to let him. First, because he would never say no to attention, but also because the eager, guilty excitement Ferengar was feeling actually fell under his purview, though it wasn't currently sexual in nature. Ferengar knew the fine details of every way that this could end badly, and held them just behind his tongue like mead, sharpening his interest. Even seeing a dragon, let alone touching one, was filed under the heading Not Ever Supposed to Happen, and every time Ferengar remembered that, Sanguine heard his breathing hitch just a tiny bit. He grinned to himself and decided to nudge things along a little.
I have a plan if you can't think of anything, Sanguine said, but if you have any suggestions, now would be a good time.
Ferengar huffed out a laugh, started to say something, then stopped and eyed Sanguine appraisingly. When he didn't continue, Sanguine arched his neck around so he was eye to eye with Ferengar, idly noting as he did so that dragon necks were truly an excellent invention.
No one can hear you but me, he growled.
Ferengar's expression didn't change, which was gratifying in a frustrating sort of way.
How flexible are you?
He asked, with only a note of hesitancy in his voice.
Spit it out,
Sanguine said sharply.
I want to see if you can suck your own cock,
Ferengar said, all in a rush and possibly without thinking it all the way through, judging by his immediate blush. Sanguine laughed in approval.
And how would you like to see me do that, mortal?
He could always cheat physics, of course, but he was betting between the dragon's natural build and the length of its neck. It would be possible the hard way around, too.
Heh, hard.
Though still blushing, Ferengar didn't contradict himself.
On your back, maybe? Or can you do that?
It was a fair question. Dragons were more angular than humans, and Sanguine had a long ridge of spines along the line of his backbone. He shrugged, as much as he could with wings for arms.
I can always try it.
Squirming onto his back turned out to be the easy part.
Dragons, as it turned out, weren't really meant to be upside down on the ground. At least, not while they were alive.
Sanguine wriggled around a little and made a shallow depression in the earth, and that helped him stay in one place until he lifted his head up to curl forward and forgot that he didn't have hands to brace himself with, at which point he promptly fell over. He heard the badly muffled snort from Ferengar's direction, and growled in pretend annoyance. Still, he was much more comfortable and stable on his side, once he adjusted his wing so he wasn't lying on it. If he stretched one leg out, he stayed more or less in place, with his belly and groin on full display, and with his other wing to counterbalance, he didn't look too ridiculous. Not that Ferengar would have cared. He stepped closer to Sanguine and traced the plated scales with one hand. Sanguine shivered. The skin was surprisingly sensitive, unexpectedly so. A strange pressure was building between his legs, almost like an erection trapped under tight clothing. Come to think of it, he wasn't really sure what dragons had in the way of genitals. Sanguine rolled his hips slightly and felt something shift, and had to lay his head down again because that had felt fantastic, and the ground was the only stable thing to hold on to. Then he felt the cool night air on more sensitive flesh, and looked across at himself.
Huh, Sanguine said.
There's two of them, Ferengar said. There was a brief silence, both of them staring at Sanguine's twin cocks.
Why?
Sanguine waved his upright wing.
How should I know? Maybe they have two vaginas.
Vaginae, Ferengar muttered absently, not paying attention at all. Can I touch...
By all means,
Sanguine purred,
and curled himself around to get a better view. Farangar reached up, hesitantly at first, but then with more confidence as Sanguine hummed quietly. His fingers stroked along the outside edge of, whatever that was called, that had kept his cocks inside his body, and then lightly underneath, almost unbelieving, almost reverent. Sanguine let his tail lash once and added the quickest stoneflesh spell he'd ever cast in his life. "It's as big as my forearm," Farangar said, comparing. "So much for that fantasy. That's not going to fit."
"Never say never,"
Sanguine countered, amused.
"That's not going to fit tonight,"
Farangar amended. His eyes widened a little as he realized what he'd said, but he didn't take it back. Instead, he turned back to face Sanguine's belly and continued his inspection.
Look, you haven't got a urethra.
He stroked the ball of his thumb down what Sanguine had instead, a shallow groove that ran from base to tip on both cocks and ended just below the flare. Sanguine hissed and coiled pleasure and felt a gush of lubricant? Semen? Did dragons even... whatever. Sanguine couldn't find it in himself to care. He could, however, find plenty of other things in himself, including a ludicrous amount of the slick, slightly cloudy substance. It drooled onto his scales and the ground, and Farangar caught a palmful of it and said, "I wonder how this tastes." And Sanguine had to close his eyes for a moment, so it wouldn't all end very badly. "Mostly salty," he said, when Sanguine opened his eyes. "Not very different from human." Sanguine said, and curled around further, flicking his tongue out to taste. The move put Farangar at the centre of a 5-foot circle of space, beyond which in all directions was a dragon. He put a hand on Sanguine's side, and Sanguine snagged the back of his robes with his teeth and deposited him mostly gently on one broad, scaly hip.
"There, front row seat."
Farangar made a small, exhilarated noise that he probably hadn't meant to be out loud. Sanguine chuckled low in his throat and rearranged his limbs a little, now that he didn't have to worry about leaving space. To both his and Farangar's delight, he could indeed easily fit his mouth to his own groin. Probably could have licked his own belly if it came to that. He pushed away the memories of that one Khajiit for some other time, and tilted his head to keep Farangar in his field of vision, then slowly curled his tongue around the base of his cocks, where they joined together as one. Farangar wasn't even blinking. He'd taken off his clothes while Sanguine was moving around, probably because it was hard to keep your balance side-saddle if you didn't have a saddle. There might have been some vague pretense of just getting comfortable, but it hadn't lasted long. Farangar was up on his knees, one hand braced in front of him and the other fisted around his dick, not even moving yet, just occasionally squeezing a little. Sanguine watched him with half-lidded eyes. His mouth was messy with his own precum. It ran down the side of his jaw in a slick stream and filled his nose with a thick, musky scent. He curled his tongue back and upwards and flicked the very tip of it at the place his cocks forked, then followed the same path back, broad and firm, watching Farangar forget how to speak. He teased himself, drawing out the motion, languid, self-assured, then pulled his tongue back into his mouth.
"What are you thinking?" he prompted Farangar.
"I never thought I'd get to see something like this," Farangar confessed. His hand moved idly, almost absently.
"Never thought I'd see a dragon. It probably makes me a bad person, that I'm glad they're back." "Stop touching yourself," Sanguine rumbled. "Rub off on my scales if you want to come."
Farangar made a noise just a few shades away from pained, and leaned forward so his cock was trapped between his hips and Sanguine's. Sanguine, for his part, hadn't expected his dragon skin to be very sensitive, and so was pleasantly surprised at the rigid line of Farangar's cock against the softer flesh of his belly. Then Farangar stopped and looked between Sanguine's cocks and his own, frowning.
"Do you think..." he tried. "Occasionally," Sanguine said. "What do you want?"
Farangar chewed at his lip. His erection was still as prominent as ever, so Sanguine didn't think he was having an attack of doubt.
"I'm not sure if... actually, I'm not sure we even can do it safely." "Won't know until you try."
"Crushed by a dragon mid-coitus is not what I want on my gravestone," Farangar said.
"Eh, I can deal with that,"
Sanguine said,
Daedric Prince, remember? You won't get hurt unless you want to. What is it?
Farengar blinked.
Oh, well, in that case, I thought I might, put my, you know, between yours, and it might be very nice for both of us.
Sanguine stared at him, bemused.
Would you like to try that again with more nouns?
It was dark, so it was hard to tell, but he was pretty sure Farengar was blushing deeply.
I don't have any practice at this. I thought we could...
And here he made a gesture with one finger between two others that was mildly descriptive.
But I don't know if it would work, logistically speaking.
Sanguine could see his point, assuming he'd interpreted correctly and Farengar wanted to hold Sanguine's cocks together and fuck them like he would another humanoid's thighs. Dragons really did not seem to be all that great at this balancing business.
I could make the hole deeper.
Wouldn't your wings get in the way, then?
I want this to be good for you, too.
Farengar ducked his head, as if he hadn't meant to admit that. Sanguine rumbled out something between a laugh and a hum.
It will be good for me no matter what you do, little mortal, as long as you're enjoying yourself.
He didn't miss Farengar's shudder at the epithet.
Oh, you like that? Being at my mercy? Dragons are supposed to hoard treasure, you know.
He licked his lips, watching Farengar's wide eyes.
I could just keep you, and you couldn't do anything about it.
I have magicka, Farengar said, faintly strangled. His cock twitched against Sanguine's hide. Sanguine grinned, showing off an impressive number of teeth.
So do I.
Farengar said, a little desperately.
What did you mean? It wouldn't matter what I did.
Sanguine took the deflection in stride.
I meant what I said. I don't fuck like mortals do. I have no kinks, or, if you like, all of them. Basically, I get off on you getting off, sort of. It's a little more complicated than that, but that's the general idea.
Oh, Farengar said, and then, oh, as something occurred to him. Have you ever, I mean, theoretically, could you reach orgasm without any stimulation that way? That is, if someone masturbated to you watching them, is the effect strong enough to make you come on its own?
Sanguine opened his mouth to answer, then stopped. I genuinely don't know, he said, delighted. This is why I love mortals. You're always coming up with new things to try.
Wait, you've really never tried it before?
You'll notice my domain is not impulse control, Sanguine said dryly. Enough. I want to see you come fucking my cocks.
He paused and mulled over that sentence, then decided there really wasn't anything he could add to that.
Here,
he said instead, and turned on his back, slowly so that Farengar could stay on top of him. As he moved, he shifted the earth beneath him, so it cradled him, but left room for his neck, tail, and limbs. His wings he folded loosely by his sides. If Sanguine had been a real dragon, the position probably would have gotten uncomfortable quickly, but that was what Daedric powers were for. It was a bit awkward, but he could see Farengar, and the Nord wasn't in danger of falling off, so it worked.
Try now.
Farengar had arranged himself just behind where Sanguine's cocks lay on his belly, and now smoothed one hand up over the bulge at the base, netting gingerly. Sanguine purred appreciatively to encourage him, but otherwise let him explore as he pleased. Every so often, Farengar would remember that he was actually there and this was actually happening, and the sudden kick of guilty pleasure made Sanguine's cocks twitch and leak a gush of precum every time. Both hands now. Farengar hesitated, then bent to mouth at the head of one oversized cock. Logistically, there was no way any part of it was going to fit in his mouth, so he didn't try. Instead, he ran his tongue along the groove and listened with satisfaction to Sanguine's tortured moan. He liked that, did he?
What if... Please, Sanguine tried, and was rewarded with Farengar's startled lust.
He wondered if he could perhaps coax Farengar into a more controlling role, but it would have to be an experiment for another time.
Please fuck me.
Yes, Farengar panted. He hauled himself forward so his cock lay between Sanguine's and rolled his hips forward and down.
Ah! Oh, fuck. Hold them together,
Sanguine said, voice rough. He hadn't been prepared for just how hot it would feel, with his precum slicking the way on those amazingly sensitive twin channels, and how Farangar shuddered halfway through his thrust so the pressure didn't stay even. Sanguine was definitely moving fuck a real dragon up his priority list. It took Farangar a moment to battle through the fog of pleasure, but to his credit, he worked out what Sanguine meant fairly quickly. He moved his weight back and squeezed the last third of Sanguine's cocks against each other with his hands, so that they were parallel instead of slightly splayed, with his own cock sinking deep into the crevice. He thrust forward again, to identical groans from them both. Sanguine growled, "I can't believe that idiot's been wandering around killing dragons this whole time when he could have been doing this instead and letting me watch." He paused. "I can't believe all these dragons have been burning the place up when they could have been doing this instead." Farangar stopped, apparently out of sheer confusion. "They don't? I mean, dragons don't have sex with each other?" "No, they're immortal. Is this really what you want to focus on right now?" "How does that..." Sanguine growled again, and this time made sure the sand resonated the length of his belly. Farangar's hips jerked gratifyingly. He moaned and slid forward again, slowly, relishing the sensation. "Faster, damn you!" Farangar grinned. Never thought I'd hear a Daedric prince beg, much less to me. Perhaps I should take notes. "Wizards," Sanguine hissed. "You shouldn't be thinking. Move!" To Sanguine's immense displeasure, Farangar promptly did the exact opposite. He didn't withdraw completely, but he looked reluctant and a bit guilty. Sanguine sighed. "What now?" Farangar didn't want to stop, he was sure of that much. The mage actually bit his lip and looked away, as if he was embarrassed, which was a bit rich coming from someone happily covered in sexual fluid from his chest to his knees. He ran one palm down Sanguine's groin, though, which went a long way towards keeping him in a good mood. "I don't want it to end," he admitted. Well, that was unexpectedly sweet. Sanguine took advantage of a serpentine neck to lean up and look Farangar in the eye. "This is not a one-time offer," he said, not ungently, despite the frustrating neglect. "If you call to me again, I'll hear you, unless I'm already doing something." Farangar clenched his jaw unhappily. "For a price," he said, with surprising bitterness. "That's how it works, isn't it? You lure mortals with depraved pleasures they can't get anywhere else, that they know they shouldn't have, and once they get addicted to it, you claim their souls." Sanguine was silent for a moment. There was clearly some kind of history behind that little speech, but that really wasn't what he was here for, and he suspected prying wouldn't help much anyway. "I won't deny I would accept you if you offered yourself to me," he said quietly. "But I'm not Molag. I don't know why mortals have so much trouble with this. If you don't want me, you're not mine. That's all I am, is want. It doesn't even have to be sex, it's just mortals have a lot of hang-ups about it, and it's fun. You want, and you think you shouldn't. You're ecstatic that you can study real dragons, even though they've killed scores of people, and you feel guilty because you think that should make you stop wanting it, and it doesn't. That's mine too, as much as this." Farangar swallowed hard. "What happens when the thing someone wants is another prince's?" he said softly.
"Is yours?"
Sanguine asked. Farangar looked up. "No, but how does it work?" Sanguine smiled, as best the dragon could.
"The eternal mage question. Depends on which part is stronger. Depends on the mortal. Depends on what they think is more important. Depends on a lot of things. Everyone's different. Right now, I don't care about them. There aren't so many people calling my name on Nern that I can't pay attention to the ones who ask pretty."
"Oh," Farangar said, a bit blankly. "And what if I don't... What if I'm never yours? What if this is a waste of time?" Sanguine huffed out of breath, secretly delighted at how predatory it sounded.
"It's not," he said, getting impatient, "unless you're about to go back to your rooms and masturbate pathetically and never do anything you ever want ever again. That'd be a damn shame."
Farangar was quiet. Sanguine let him collect his thoughts for a minute, then curled his tail. The muscle at the base contracted, shifting against Farangar's balls and provoking a gasp. He eyed Sanguine. "Don't come. Not until I say." That was more like it. "And how are you going to stop me?" Sanguine purred. Farangar shook his head. "I'm not," he said, smirking. "You are, because that's what I want." "Is it?" Sanguine breathed. He couldn't really move his hips in the position he was in, but he could and did tense his abdominal muscles in a slow wave, moving Farangar against him. "Yes," Farangar said, and now he sounded fervent, fevered. "I want a dragon begging me for release. I want to know I have that power over you. Something as wild and gorgeous as a dragon, a real dragon, would never submit like that, but you. I want you to do what I want, because I want you to." He'd leaned forward, as though he were the predator and Sanguine the prey. "Is that a challenge?" Sanguine rumbled. It wasn't really a question. "It's going to be," Farangar said, teeth bared. They'd lost some momentum while they were talking, but it didn't take Farangar long to regain it. He pumped Sanguine's cocks with both hands, apparently ignoring his own. But it was still nestled between Sanguine's, and he nearly lost his grip every time they slid together. Sanguine let his head rest back on the ground. It certainly felt nice, and he had no doubt Farangar was going to bring himself off that way, but Sanguine himself wasn't exactly in danger of disobeying, not unless he did so on purpose. And then he felt the jolt of possessive, guilt-tinged lust from Farangar, and then another, distinct, and a third, and he jerked his head back up and realized this might not be as easy as he'd thought. Farangar was smirking at him. "I thought so," he said, entirely too smugly for someone who had to stop for breath in the middle. "If I just focus..." Sanguine growled, but he had quite literally made his bed and was now obliged to lie in it. He let his head thump back down, groaning. It wouldn't even have been so bad if Farangar had the mental discipline to set up some kind of pattern. As it was, he was distracted and unpracticed, and it felt like the flat of a knife on Sanguine's skin, the point digging in at random intervals. He tried not to writhe. "Smart mortal. It's always the quiet ones. Fuck, fuck." Farangar brought his restoration magicka to bear, not casting anything, just letting the spell gutter in his palms. Sanguine thrashed his tail hard enough to make the earth around them shake. If there was a saving grace to the teasing, it was that Farangar, by dint of concentrating on his own arousal, wasn't going to last much longer either. His thrusts became erratic as he rose up on his knees, fucking faster and faster, and at last bringing his hand down to push himself over the edge. He came with a quiet, ragged sound, and Sanguine, much to his pleased surprise, actually had to make an effort not to do the same. Farangar slumped over Sanguine's cocks, trapping them between their bellies. "Come on," he said, voice rough with sated exhaustion. "I want to feel it. I want to feel you coming around my cock." He rolled his hips once more, chasing sweet, sharp aftershocks. Sanguine roared and obeyed. Fluid gushed between them, turning Farangar and most of Sanguine's pelvis into a swampy mess. He felt Farangar's softening cock sliding forward, half intentionally, and relished the little oversensitive whimper that tore out of the mage. When he opened his eyes, he was looking upside down at a copse of trees, all flattened away from him. He twisted his head around, really, dragon necks were wonderful, and regarded them a bit sheepishly. "I think you shouted," Farangar said, dazed. "Probably." "Oops." Farangar hauled himself up to the dry part of Sanguine's chest and flopped down on his back. "Eh, we're far enough away from Whiterun. Nobody wants to fight a dragon in the middle of the night." "Including the dragon," Sanguine said dryly. He picked his head up and looked himself over. "Wow, I was not expecting all..." He waved one foot vaguely. "This." "The mess? Do real dragons, produce that much?" Sanguine shrugged, an interesting maneuver while upside down with wings for arms. "I guess so. I didn't do it on purpose. Hot as fuck, though.
least until it dries. Ferengar grimaced and sat up. We should clean up, shouldn't we? Sanguine mulled it over and decided against it. Nah, can't be asked. He waved one wing for effect, and the accumulated fluids vanished. There, fixed it. Cuddle me. Ferengar snorted even as he lay back down. The Daedric Prince of Debauchery is a cuddler, he said, mildly incredulous. How in oblivion do you maintain any kind of reputation? You want me to fuck you in the middle of town so you can show off your pet dragon? Sanguine said. Ferengar squeaked. That's a horrible idea! We should do it. No! What part of that's a horrible idea don't you understand? Sanguine chuckled. Oh, come on. All the best stuff starts with that's a horrible idea. It's right up there with hold my mead and what's the worst that could happen. I take it back. Now I know exactly why you have that reputation. Sanguine just laughed. Well, what do you think? Seltra set down the quill she'd been taking notes with.
I think I can work with that, she said delicately.
Did you mean it? That you'd go back to him?
Sure, Sanguine said. He was fun. I always liked the weird ones, you know? The ones that don't fit in. 9 times out of 10, kinky as fuck.
Seltris turned to him fully and studied Sanguine's vaguely average Nord form. He was sitting on the same bed as before, hands cuffed behind him and anchored to the bedpost. His legs were crossed beneath him, doing nothing to hide the bulge in his pants he'd gotten while telling his story. Her eyes lingered, and he noticed.
I can take a different form if you...
She raised an eyebrow.
What, no quip to imply you'd like to have sex with me?
He shrugged.
I don't. You don't. Not really.
You care, Sultra said quietly, like she'd figured something out. Don't you? You get invested in us. You don't see us as tools like some of the other gods.
Oh, trust me, I see a lot of tools,
Sanguine told her, grinning. She rolled her eyes, and the natural order's been restored. Sultris looked over her notes, thinking.
Oh, what did you mean with the dragons don't have sex because they're immortal bit? I mean, you're immortal.
She indicated his current situation with a gesture.
There's like a set number of dragon souls or something, Sanguine said. You don't see any little Alduins running around, do you? And they can't stand each other. They'd die out if they actually needed to reproduce.
They died out anyway, Seltris pointed out.
Well, there you have it.
Seltris snorted, dropped a quill on the desk, and leaned back in her chair. I don't know if I can publish this. Random unnamed cultists are one thing, but Whiterun's court wizard? I doubt he'd be happy to see this in print. I don't want to ruin the man's reputation. I've never even met him.
Reputations are for suckers, Sanguine said cheerfully. Who says he has to see it?
Statistics, Seltris said dryly. I'd be more worried about it if I were you. If everyone you do anything questionable with Oso coincidentally happens to get a completely accurate book written about them, detailing their most closely kept secrets, you're going to get a lot fewer takers.
So change the names, Sanguine offered. He's not Whiterun's court wizard. He's a somebody something from Black Walk. Whatever. I mean, he'll probably know it's him, but nobody else will. At least not for sure.
You are not allowed to name anything, Seltris said. But she drummed her fingers on the desk and looked thoughtful. I get the feeling I'm going to regret taking your advice, but... Well, we'll see. Give me a week or two to get a draft written and talk with Hess. I have no doubt you can get up to plenty of trouble in that time.
Sanguine gave her an innocent look. Me? Trouble? Never!
Seltris just laughed and shooed him away. He went, grinning.
Trouble, hm? He'd see what he could do.
The end.